Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSMP, the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. Tonight, we have a wonderful show because it's the most wonderful time. Yeah, you don't want me singing. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the time to kick off winter holidays. And I have a very good friend of mine tonight talking about winter holidays, Florence, Reverend Florence Edwards Miller. And Florence is a pagan and mom living in Wisconsin. She is an ordained minister and longtime member of Circle Sanctuary. She frequently coordinates youth and family programming for events at Circle Sanctuary and is the coordinator for the Family Center at the Pagan Spirit Gathering. And I'm very honored and very happy to call her my friend as well. So, Florence, welcome to Lunatic Mondays. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, Laura, thank you so much for inviting me to be on and talking about this. There's very, very little I love talking about more than, like, pagan families. So, and I love talking with you. So it's, like, perfect all around.
Right. And what people don't know, thank you for saying yes, first of all. And what people don't know is that I've been planning this show for, like 3 years now. And it always passes me by. I program my shows crazy way in advance. So, like, right now I'm programming May. Yes, I'm that crazy. and I'm that organized. And so, Florence, you're not going to let me lie that I hit you up about this probably like in August. And
yes.
You know, so finally, here we are, and it is something that I wanted to do. You and I and other pagan moms did the Mother's Day special a few years ago, and after that, I've been wanting to do the winter holiday special, and I decided to invite you because you're a perfect example, because when you share with us on your Facebook, and those of us who are close to you see your posts and stuff, you really celebrate a lot of stuff during the winter holidays or the holidays. And it just, to me, is fascinating because I never birthed children, so I don't have that experience of having to deal with little humans and then build stuff. And plus, you're the only person that has invited me and enticed me to work with little humans. So I trust you. I trust to be around you when I'm around them, besides I'm afraid of them. I'm scared of little humans. You did such a good job.
I've twisted your arm into doing storybook readings and all kinds of things, and you're wonderful with it. So thank you for going outside of your comfort zone, and you know, and for helping enhance the activities for children in the Circle Sanctuary community. I really, really appreciate it.
And I appreciate inviting me because. Go ahead. Go ahead, Florence.
Oh, no. I was wondering if you want to, but yeah, no, I think, in my opinion, it's really important that we don't, like, make this sort of little side annex to paganism that is, oh, and here's the kids, and have that annex be only inhabited by parents and children. And there can be a tendency, and that can sort of be the default that happens, particularly when there are people who don't have children. And I think, personally, that we benefit as a community when we integrate all lifestyle and phases of life together. When we have when we make effort to include our elders, when we make effort to include persons with disabilities, when we make effort to include children, when we make efforts to include people who are raising children. And we benefit from that, and we grow as a community, and we grow, and because we have our religion is a holistic one that talks about all aspects of life, if we're not doing that work to integrate it, we're really shorting ourselves out on the full experience of our religion, in my humble opinion. But yeah, as you can see, that's a soapbox I'm happy to climb anytime.
And I'm happy for you to climb. And I have to say, and this is, you probably heard me saying this before, Florence, and if you haven't, then you're gonna. And I think I've said it a couple of times here on the show. When I fall in love with Circle Sanctuary, I had already fallen in love with the land and, of course, with our senior minister, Selena Fox, and everything that Circle represents. But what sealed the deal was the kids. It was me going to Circle Sanctuary in 2015 and being around the little humans and see how they behave and how it truly is the definition of it takes a village. Because all the children belong to all the people, and all the people take care of the children, and all the children listen to every adult. And to me, that was utopic because I'm brutally honest. I don't feel comfortable around kids. It's just not my thing. I think I'm too tough around the edges, and the ages. No, I think I'm too tough around the edges, and I don't think I'm, quote-unquote, suitable for children. But then seeing these kids and how they behave and how they are used to be around adults and used to listen, but also used to be treated like humans and not like something else, you know, they behave differently. And this is something that I learned at Circle with all of you. And then, of course, you didn't have your child yet, but ever since, of course, now you have your beautiful baby, and it just is wonderful. And yes, they sealed the deal for me, and here I am. So thank you, Florence, for inviting me to work with them, and they're not as scary as I thought they will be when you are around. I don't know if I will be if you are not around.
Well,
but,
you know, and I think that that's something that, you know, I as a parent and other people who feel comfortable working with children can do is to facilitate things, is to figure out ways where the kids can interact with grown-ups in a way that's developmentally appropriate for them, and the grown-ups can interact with kids. It's sort of, it sets, you just need to set people up for success, you know. I ask you to do something that you feel comfortable about, and that's within your area of expertise, and you set it up well for the kids, and it's really successful. I know we've got to get on to the holidays. I do want to tell just like one interesting story, because I think it's so interesting that your introduction to Circle Sanctuary story had to do with the kids, because I actually have sort of a very similar story. This is more than a decade before I became a mother. I went to my very first PSG about 6 months after I had started coming to Circle Sanctuary. And I really didn't know what was this about. It was kind of freaky. Definitely the clothing optional aspect was way outside of my comfort zone. But I went there, and about 2 days in, right outside of my tent, a little girl was running barefoot through a field and stepped on a bee, and it stung her. And so she screams and falls down in the field. And I hear it. I've always loved kids, even before I became a mother. And so I'm scrambling to get out of my tent. And literally by the time I got my tent unzipped and got out of it, there was a crowd of adults who had also heard this scream and had come running. And not one of them was her parent or even knew her. But by the time I got there, this crowd of adults had organized them. One person who knew first aid had got the appropriate stuff and got the stinger out. Two other people had organized themselves to go in two different directions to find the nearest guardian so that they could get a cart over there to take her to the medical center just in case she might be allergic, because her parent wasn't there, so nobody knew. One person had given a description of who her parent was and where they might be and sent off runners to there, and somebody had found one of her camp, an adult who was from her camp, even though it wasn't her parent, and was escorting that person over to her so she'd have somebody who knew her to go to the med center with. And all of this happened with a whole bunch of adults, none of whom knew each other, but every one of whom answered the call of a little child in distress. And I just thought it was the most beautiful example of community in action. And that's been, you know, as I've been working more with this community, that's, it gives me a great sense of responsibility to be stewarding this this community, which is so powerful and so beautiful.
Yeah, and it is true. It's a true testament to our belief system, right? Because when we say we adore nature, the earth, and every entity, every being that dwells in it, that includes little humans. So, you know, as much as I would like for us to come in a package 20 years and up, we don't. We have to start somewhere. And you know, I always say, I'm more comfortable if I can swear in front of them. So when they are in the, that age that I can swear, then I'm comfortable. But, you know, it varies. And it's also, you know, speaking about the children's programs and the children within Circle, it's part of the program. It's part of the holiday program that we're talking about today, because in other religions, and this is just factual, I'm not bashing anybody, but there are other religions that don't, their traditions are different, and then they have like that separation, right? Or within the pagan community, I've seen groups that say, oh, you shouldn't be teaching children because it's proselytizing, which I find hysterical. Because if it's your child, your child learns from you. And in this case, in the holidays, how will you take your child away from the home so they don't see the holidays? I mean, it's not proselytizing if they grew up on it. And in your case, your child is growing up seeing a myriad of traditions, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you've touched on what's actually like a pet peeve for me, is that there are people out there and good people who really feel like we shouldn't be teaching our children paganism because they need to pick their own path. And I accept where they're coming from, but I also feel like, if you're not teaching your child religion, who is? Because Lord knows there's a lot of folks out there who are very happy to fill the gap. And, you know, kids want to learn, and we can teach them our ways. We can teach them our traditions. They're not a tradition until multiple people and preferably multiple generations have been practicing them. And if they find a different path when they get older, we can accept that with joy. And that's one of the things that I think we can do, and that's a gift that we can give not just to our children, but to the world, is a model of child rearing where the child growing up to accept the exact same things that you taught them without question is not the goal. The goal is to raise inquiring, engaged people who will make their own judgments. But you don't do that by leaving them a blank slate forever, because they'll fill it up with things. Like you said, my family is very interfaith. I was raised Methodist and in a wonderful church that I don't have anything bad to say about. They're great people, but it just wasn't for me. And my mother is still a, you know, in the best sense of the phrase, a good Christian woman. And her faith is very important to her, and I respect that. And so that's how, and my father was basically agnostic, but supportive. But I grew up, you know, going to every December, doing some part in the Christmas pageant. I was pretty much every single role in a church Christmas pageant except Mary and the Baby. And because when I was in the little kids pageant, I was even Joseph one year because none of the boys wanted to man up and do the job, so I just had to step up. So it was, I've done it all, and that was a wonderful tradition, but it's not mine, but it is my daughter's grandmother's. And on the other side of the family, my husband is a non-practicing Jew, but he comes also from his father was raised Lutheran, and his mother was raised Jewish, and they were fairly non-practicing, but his uncle's a rabbi, but he was raised sort of culturally Jewish. So we've got this in our family. We've got Jewish traditions going on, we've got Christian traditions going on, and we've got pagan traditions going on. And what makes it more complicated is that everybody likes each other. My family gets along really, really well. Both my in-laws and my parents are quite good friends. So we just have to make this holiday thing work.
And I think it's what a privileged place to be for your child and for you. And I say privilege in a very, very literal sense of the word, because, you know, it's wonderful that the child is going to learn all those different traditions, and it's going to be able to also see adults from different traditions getting along well, because it's possible. It is possible, people. You can believe different things, and this is where that phrase fits. You can believe different mm-hmm. things and still be friends. It doesn't fit in racism, just to clarify mm-hmm. that, because some people are getting confused. But you can believe, and I'm all over the place, Florence, please forgive me. But I compare this to language, you know, being bilingual. I always bring things to compare them to language. And if I say, hey, Florence, I like you very much, you're a very good friend of mine. And if I say, Florence, me caes muy bien y te quiero mucho, I am saying the exact same thing. But mm-hmm. it sounds different, right? Because it's two different languages. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that with faith is the exact same thing. Case in point, in December, January, November, for some traditions, is the beginning of the winter holidays, plural. And not one of them should be more important than the other. I also do not agree when people say, oh, the Christians stole our holidays and we pagans being robbed. Like, no, still there. You can still put a tree, you know, you don't have to accuse the Christians for stealing the tree. I mean, there's so much controversy, but what a wonderful position for your child to be able to witness what true family love looks like.
Yeah. I've got very, very little patience for folks who, you know, want to, you know, try and act like, you know, Christians are appropriating pagan traditions. That's just, in my view, that's sort of buying into that bogus war on Christmas narrative and just by arguing on the other side. And let's just call it a ridiculous argument and be done with this, because, you know, all of cultures change, and, you know, they learn from one another, and peoples adapt. And so, you know, the Christmas tree is a Christmas tradition. The lit up solstice tree is a solstice tradition. Yes, they look exactly the same. And in my house, they're the same darn tree, but, you know, they can have multiple meanings for multiple traditions. But yeah, you're right. In my house, depending on the calendar, December gets kind of crowded with celebrations, because we really do. We're trying to bring up our daughter to have options. Especially with, in the Jewish community, I feel obligated actually to make sure that my child understands her Jewish heritage and knows that that's a door that is open for her to go through later in life if that's what she chooses. And so, there's, given that, my husband's non-practicing, there's only so much that I can do, but, as sort of an age-appropriate participating in some of the holiday traditions like Hanukkah is something that we can do that teaches her about that part of her heritage and in a way that's fun and engaging, because the last thing you want to do with kids is be pedantic. Like, if you sit down a child for a lecture, they will be tuning out and thinking of Minecraft, before you've gotten three syllables out. But if you engage them in something that's age appropriate, so a game or an activity or a food, or simply, and this is a very seasonally appropriate for most of the holidays that come up, lighting candles, then you can engage them and get them interested. When my daughter was 2 years old, lighting candles was just, she was a little miniature firebug, and there was nothing that she liked more than the excuse to have a candle, see it lit, and blow it out. And so she loved Hanukkah. Every single day, she got a new candle. That was so cool. And that's the door that was open for us to get her engaged. So that's what we emphasized that year.
Mm-hmm. And I think I saw these comments on one forum a long time ago, a child, probably about the age of your child, put a rock and put a cup of water and set up like a tiny altar for herself. And the mom was puzzled because she said, I never taught her how to do it. And I'm like, but you did. Because if she sees you doing it, then she's learning how to do it. And that goes, not to digress, but that goes into what you were saying earlier about others will be eager to fill the gap and teach your children some kind of religion that is probably not ideal, not because any other religion is not good, but because you should be able to explain to them more at length, we do this because of that, we do this because of that. And then candles, as you say, and I should agree, is one of the easiest things. I have my child, my grandson, and every year on the 21st, I try to give him a tiny little gift and then a candle, And I say, is the Yule light? Is the Yule light? And you light it on the 21st. Why? Because the solstice. Oh, okay. And now he knows, he's 12 years old. So now he knows he's going to get a Yule gift and a candle. And then on Christmas, they will do what they do on Christmas, and then they will open presents on the other grandma's house on the 25th. But it is really important to get him engaged in the things that is going to, get their attention. Because if you start reading scripture, I don't think that's going to get him too interested.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why Yule is one of the easy holidays to do it, just because there are so many family traditions that we can borrow, reacquire, reclaim, whatever, from primarily Christian sources. It's a wonderful season to be teaching children because you can there's a whole bunch of things that you can tag in on. I know a lot of pagan families who have who especially ones who have Scandinavian roots themselves who do things for St. Lucia's Day or Lucia's Day, and they reclaim that aspect of that day, which for those who aren't familiar, the sort of the traditional Christian thing, it was a Saint Lucia, and the girl wears a wreath with candles in it, and wears a white dress with a red sash, and carries buns that are generally saffron and raisin, and gives them to the family in the morning. And I was fascinated by that holiday when I was a little kid. And I know several pagan families who make that a really big part of their traditions. And again, that you can do that in an interfaith way as well, especially if you've got families who've got Catholic or Scandinavian origins for whom that's a really meaningful holiday. And, you know, particularly for young girls, or you can make it non-gender specific, and have the kids get to sort of do breakfast or be the light bearers in some way. That's a wonderful way to do things. And then you get into other traditions, including Santa Claus. I actually published a whole blog post last year, which was probably the most read thing that I've ever written, that was on the subject of incorporating Santa Claus into pagan traditions and looking at that. But there's all kinds of ways that you can get your kids engaged, and you get them engaged with the fun part, and you can kind of sneak the religion in a joyful way, and that's what captivates them, because that kids don't learn just by osmosis. Like if you're doing a ritual in the other room and you're not involving them, they're not going to learn anything from it. But if you get them involved and if you get them engaged, then that's where they can learn, but it doesn't feel pedantic.
Yeah. And I want you to put a pin on that, because believe it or not, we are just about to hit the half an hour. And
oh,
I want us to come back. Yes, time flies when you're having fun. I want us to come back from the break and talk about Santa, and talk about incorporating traditions from the land. And as we are, well, we in Chicago get cold and snowy. Where you are, it's even more. So how we can bring some of those European traditions of scary winter stories, or not so scary, into the winter holidays. You know I'm in love with Krampus. But I want to invite you, Florence, to listen to Emerald Rose with Santa Claus is Pagan Too. Of course, I'm going to play this song today. And invite you to hang in there, Florence, for a whole 3 minutes. And everybody who is listening now or will listen later on the recording, to hang in there, enjoy the song, and we'll be right back with more here on Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and make those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. That Buddha belly and his top's the holly king. You dressed him in that British coat, the cap's a Nordic thing. You took the horns right off his head and stuck them on his ear. But he still flies high like Jupiter with a belly full of beer. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Now history says Christ was likely not a Capricorn. If you want to share our Yule, we don't care when he's born. Come celebrate the dawning of the Sun King's bright rebirth. And if you practice what you preach, we'll all have peace on earth. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too. Cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Way more jollies than most Christians would require. And if you weren't so busy, he'd be dancing round his fire. Yeah, you can call it Christmas, you got a sleigh outgun, but just you wait till Beltane and we'll see who's having
ho, ho.
Hey,
Santa Claus is taking two just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too, 'cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too. Hey, Santa Claus is pagan too, just like all the rest. And if you are a merry witch, he'll bring you all the best. So get that star up on the roof and bake those cookies too, 'cause Christmas time is really Yule and Santa's pagan too.
And we're back here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunes Lunaticos. I'm laughing because I recorded something to play when I come back from the musical break, and I can never find it because I can't remember the keywords. And is, oh, here it is. I have to play it because I want you all to hear it.
You are listening to Lunatic Mondays, building bridges of community around the world. We'll continue with more. Don't go anywhere.
I'm so proud of myself that I recorded that little thing, a little transition thing, but I can never find it. Anyway, don't mind me. I'm just rambling here. I want to ramble because I want to tell y'all to listen to all the shows on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. We have over 390 shows. Yes. 390 shows. Right now it's probably 396 or so. And you can listen, you can download, you can share, you can archive, you can learn. Some of them you can watch because our dear Salita Fox is actually transmitting them live on a video on her Salita Fox Updates page. So, and I have done a couple of videos of my pre-interviews. On my interviews when they are pre-recorded for Lunatic Mondays. But there are so many shows. You can listen on Spanish and Portuguese on Saturdays for Paganos del Mundo. You can listen twice a month on a Thursday to Moon Magic with David and Jed and Ewan. You can listen to two Circle Talk with Deborah Rose two Tuesdays a month. And then every Sunday and every Wednesday, Selena Fox with Nature Mystic or Nature Spirituality, and yours truly. The first Monday of the month is Lunes Lunaticos en Español, and second and fourth Monday is Lunatic Mondays in English, and today obviously English. And we have my dear friend Reverend Florence Edwards Miller. We welcome you back, Florence. How are you?
Doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy to have you here, and I'm so happy that you mentioned Santa Claus and Krampus. Well, I will mention Krampus because I'm crazy about Krampus. But those, what I was going to mention earlier, bringing the children into the traditions, you know, it's like that's how you do it, because growing up Catholic in Mexico, this is the time of the year that we have, you know, the posadas, like the holidays begin on the 16th of December, and then we have like nine holiday nights leading into the actual Christmas night, and then it's New Year's, and then it's Candlemas, and you ended up doing a winter celebration that lasts, you know, until February 2nd. Like literally begins on December 12th, because it's the day of the Virgin Mary, and it's a whole month. And as a child, I remember, well, me, Laura, I was wondering, you know, why are we celebrating? Like, who is this Jesus guy? Like, tell me more. But I remember most of the children my age and younger, they're there for the candy and for the holidays and for the piñatas. By the way, people who don't know, piñatas are traditional for Christmas. We do not break piñatas on birthday holidays. Now people do them on birthdays, but they're traditional for winter holidays. you know, and it's funny because when I came to the States, like, everybody breaking piñatas, like, in the middle of June, and I'm like, what's going on? Like, why do you have a piñata in June? But anyway, what do you know of Nordic traditions since you did that piece on Santa Claus? Nordic winter, wintry land traditions that have jumped the ocean and are part of traditions here in the United States that kids can be, you know, begin to learn.
Oh, you know, it's, I don't pretend to be any authority, particularly on Northern traditions. I mean, any, you know, pagan who is celebrating Yule needs to recognize that celebrating the winter solstice, when we celebrate the winter solstice and all of these winter solstice traditions, we're not borrowing from sort of the Celtic tradition. We're borrowing from more Northern European and Scandinavian traditions were those were borrowed from, and I should say that the borrowing is new. Like, for example, the tradition of having Christmas trees indoors was popularized in England by Prince Albert, who was the German husband of Queen Victoria, and when he was designing traditions for his extremely large family, he borrowed a lot of things from the Christmases of his German childhood, including having trees indoors, and that became extremely popular. The thing that was lost when Albert was doing it, the trees were not just put on the ground, but also hung from the ceiling. That tradition didn't last, but the custom of having trees indoors was popularized in England at that point and then spread over to the United States. So, you know, when we're talking about this borrowing from Northern European or German traditions, we're really talking about centuries and centuries and centuries of borrowing traditions. But there's a lot of things that are similar, including, if we're talking about Santa Claus, there's a lot of winter gift givers. There's some really excellent articles about it. Selena Fox had an article which sort of notoriously got titled, I think not by her, When Santa Was a Woman. And Jason Mankey on Pathos had published a really lovely, well-researched origin of Santa Claus. But if you're looking at winter gift givers, there's a lot. There's Selena talks a lot about Hulda, who's a Germanic goddess. You can talk about, in Italy, you can talk about La Befana, who is the Christmas witch, and I know a lot of pagan families have gotten into that. And then there's a lot of pagan families have invented more modern gift givers, such as the Yuletide fairy is a more modern invention, or some people have sort of adopted others. Like, I've got some dear friends of mine have their daughter gets gifts from the Yule lads. Personally, I like Santa Claus. I like Santa Claus for a lot of reasons, including the fact that, you know, if you're trying to teach your kid a tradition, there's so much cultural stuff around sort of the secular aspects of Christmas that if you're really trying to keep it all out, then you're really swimming against the tide. So your kid is going to hear about Santa Claus all over the place. So I take the view that it's better to simply adapt and adopt. So my daughter does get presents from Santa, but we conceptualize Santa a little bit differently from other people. We talk about Santa as being a god and a spirit of giving and generosity and friendship. And we talk about him as being similar to other gods that I talk about with her, and we talk about, and you know, I'm not hiding all that hard the fact that the presents that Santa gives her are actually probably going to be stuffed into that stocking by me or her daddy, but that we talk about Santa inspiring giving, and Santa inspires us to give her things, and she can talk to Santa, and Santa will communicate to us and help us do gift giving for her, but we can also have Santa inspire her to do gift giving for other people. If you're really into this topic, I wrote a whole blog post on it. I looked at the title just in case anybody's curious. It's called Evoking Santa, Adapting Santa Claus Traditions for Pagan Households. And there's a heck of a lot more in where I blither on about that subject there. But I do think that this is, that we can adapt the customs that work for us, including the ones from the overculture, which is not always great. But again, we can pick and choose the aspects that work for us.
Yes. And I think, you know, borrowing and getting inspired is quite different from appropriating. And I just wanted to throw that out there because people need to understand that there is a huge difference. And also, I just love the spirit of the season. And you and I have had these conversations before where, for some of us, some things might work. For some other people, other things might work. But as long as we're celebrating, I don't know, for me it's whether you're celebrating the birth of the sun or the sun, you know, with an O or with a U, It is about hope, and it is about bringing in the light, and it is about starting a new one, one more opportunity. And I just smile when people, you know, because there are some pagans that are, yes, I'm going to use the word, very traditional and conservative. And, oh, no, New Year's is on November 1st. That's our New Year. And we don't live in a vacuum. There's also a New Year that begins on January 1st. And I just like to ride the wave of good energy both days. And I do the same with the winter holidays. You know, it's just, I mean, for once, people are in a good mood, hopeful, and in a given spirit. Can we at least get along those days, you know?
Well, and particularly with children. With children, you know, like I, and, you know, particularly this year of all years, one thing that we can do with the holidays, particularly if we've got an interfaith family, and many, many families are interfaith, especially if you go out to the level of the grandparents, and many pagan families, that is, you know, you can focus on things on, you can really sort of distill it down to the essence. And for a child, for, you know, one of the essences of the winter holidays is love. The fact that they are loved by the people around them, family, whether that's family by blood or by affiliation. And so, you know, you can just making kids feel loved. You know, why do we give them gifts? It's not because, you know, that's something that we somehow owe it to them. It's we want to make them happy. We want to give them joy. And so the, you know, for me, it's so important that my that what my child gets out of this holiday is the sense that she loves and is loved by those around her, and this and that, and you know, everything else can fall by the wayside. You know, I can, you know, I have all these cookie cutters and I have great aspirations that we're going to do some Martha Stewart-esque thing where we're going to make all these wonderful cookies and decorate them together and it's going to be, you know, perfect. And what's the reality? The reality is, well, I'm working from home, and so my daughter is actually going to her grandparents to be taken care of. And today they did decorate cookies. She put large lumps of thick brown frosting on every single cookie, and it does not look like something appetizing. It looks like a turd, and that's the reality of her cookie decorating. It's not Martha Stewart. It's little sugared turds. And that's wonderful. That's great. We're just, I embrace it for what it is, not what the picture postcard version that I would like it to be. And I think that's kind of the message for the holidays. You know, you go for the love and feel free to lay aside all the trappings that don't serve that particular goal.
Absolutely. And you know what? I have to say, with a little bit of a melancholy heart, you know, They grow up so fast. I cannot believe I'm saying this. They grow up so fast. Here speaking the one that is not very content around them. I remember with my grandson, you know, building the gingerbread house or baking cookies or, you know, having him over for decorating for Christmas or whatever. He's 12 now. And he was here over the weekend. And, you know, now I'm making all this vegan sweets and stuff because I changed to a vegan lifestyle. And I'm like, do you want to make donuts? He's 12 now, Florence. He's like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm like, donuts, yeah. Dude, like donuts, like you and I baking, you know, that's our thing. Like, donuts, no, Lisa, I'm good. And I'm like, wah, wah. So believe me, I will take a sugar brown shirt over the no, I'm good, Lisa. But you know, it really is. They grow really fast, and these are the times that you have to really, really cherish the memories, the moments, and the planning on the arts and crafts is going to look like this. And no, it just looks like we have a lot of fun, and we didn't even take photos because that's how busy we were having fun.
Yep.
And, you know, so in a regular year, pre-COVID, what would the holiday season look for the Edwards Miller household?
Well, you know, it would be busy. It would be. My husband's a teacher. I work at a children's museum, so we actually do a lot about the holidays, and because it's nonprofit, you know, the end of the year giving is very important. So it's generally like really busy time at work for me. But I've got three different holidays to produce for my family. So that can be so like for so generally Hanukkah comes first, depending on the year. And so what we do often is we go over to her grandparents' house, and she gets presents, and we will do a, you know, traditional meal with latkes and other things, and we'll light the candles. And you know, because her grandparents aren't religiously observant, you know, sometimes we have the big celebration on the first night of Hanukkah, and sometimes we have it on the last night of Hanukkah. In between, it's all up to my family, and one of the things that we've got is I have a stunning, stunning solid silver menorah So our menorah was crafted by indigenous silversmiths in Mexico in a fair trade program to support local artists. That was run through an Appalachian association. I forget the exact name that my late grandmother loved. And so when my Presbyterian grandmother knew that I was marrying a Jewish man, she went out and she bought us this utterly beautiful menorah. But it was, you know, it was made by indigenous artists in Mexico, purchased by a Presbyterian in Tennessee, and shipped up to Wisconsin for a Jew and a pagan. So it's a well-traveled menorah. And so we set it up and we try and remember to light it every night. And I gotta say, with, you know, a first toddler and now a preschooler, you know, pretty much every year we miss some nights. I always end up with some extra candles at the end of the year, but that's fine. Hanukkah candles are really, really useful for doing pagan rituals because they're longer and you can light things and they'll last a little bit longer. So yeah, I recycle my Hanukkah candles and the pagan stuff. Sorry if there's anybody who's offended by that. But
you know, somebody's going to be okay.
Yeah. And so, yep. so that's Hanukkah, and generally somewhere around there, Yule falls, and most years, I'm doing something for Circle Sanctuary's Yule Festival. For years, I coordinated, back when we were doing this, I coordinated the Solstice Pageant, which was a huge amount of work, and we're not doing that, and I haven't said yes to coordinating Yule since I became a parent, but I'm often doing children's activities for that. So getting all of that together, coordinating with that, and doing sort of the logistics for that. And then, and some years I sort of punt and make that the biggest, what we do for my daughter, and we'll just sort of light a couple candles and call it good. But some years I do sort of a more of a Yule ritual with my daughter. I could do an entire podcast on the subject of adapting rituals for children, but the short version is you keep it really short, you keep it simple, and you keep it on their level. But my daughter will often get presents on Yule. And so now keep in mind, this is the second time this child has gotten presents. She got presents for Hanukkah. Now she's gotten presents for Yule, generally just like one or two. And then the way the calendar falls, a couple days later, it's Christmas. And in previous years, we have flown down to Atlanta where my parents were, or since my parents got a place up here, we'll do Christmas morning here, where my fireplace is actually my main altar, so I kind of clear that mostly away. We hang the stockings by the chimney with care. And then my family's tradition is to do a big opening of Christmas presents and stocking presents from Santa on Christmas morning. And so last year we had my parents, my husband's parents, my brother and sister-in-law, their dog, and my aunt who had flown in from England, all in my tiny little living room doing Christmas morning. So it was a little bit hectic. But yeah, my child cleans up around the holidays.
I would like to be adopted by you for the next holiday. you get a lot of, that's a whole lot of presents, man. That's so cool. That is so cool.
She's the first child and the first grandchild on both sides. Yeah, she is not lacking for material things, I hate to say, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the more the merrier. Let the blessings come. And since we have a few minutes, and I'm sure there might be something there, and if there's none, that's fine. But take us all the way to New Year's. Do you have any New Year's traditions?
You know, by the time I've done Hanukkah and Yule and Christmas, I'm pretty fried. So at that point, last year at the Children's Museum where I work, we often do a big celebration for New Year's, and we've gotten press coverage for this. The earliest New Year's party in town, we drop a ball at like 2 p.m. On the theory that all the little kids are going to be asleep, but nobody wants to keep up their preschooler until midnight. That's not a good example. So we drop a ball and let the kids and throw confetti and have a Happy New Year party at 2. And so I have adopted that fully for my family. Like that, if we're going to do a celebration, it's going to be small and in the afternoon. ever since I became a parent, I don't think I've stayed up until midnight on New Year's. It's like my sleep is too precious. You know, I want to start off this year right. I'm going to start it off fully rested.
Yes. And, you know, understandable. So I want to, before we go closing tonight for us, I want to say something that is very important for me to tell you and to tell every single parent that is listening out there. Whether you are by birth, by love, by adoption, by whichever way, if you take the function of being a parent, we see you. We know this year is going to be a little extra challenging. I keep kind of my blessings, and one of them is I don't have to be present for a little human this year. I see you all, and I know it's hard, and whatever it is that we can do to ease the stress, whether it's from lack of sleep or because COVID, I want to tell you, Florence, and all the parents out there, that we see you. And what would you recommend? I mean, we cannot leave without talking the COVID talk because it's 2020 after all. How do you talk to your child about hope and happiness and celebrating and all of that when they're probably not going to be around the whole extended family?
You know, it's tough, you know, and some days, well, first, thank you. Thank you very much. It's, you know, it's hard when everyone is suffering to just notice the suffering of another person and go, oh, that's uniquely sucky. It might not be worse than what some other people have, but it's certainly sucky. So thank you. Thank you for that. And it matters being seen. You know, I think you talk, you know, children want hope, you know, particularly younger kids. You know, they are going to, if you tell them there's a reason to be joyful, there's a reason to be hopeful, they're going to be joyful and hopeful. And you just have to sort of find it where you can. This year, you know, there's a lot of sort of the trappings of the holidays that we're not doing. You know, we're not going out in places where like a mall or something like that, that's all dressed up and fancy. And so, you know, this year, we got our holiday lights up and we put a little bit, and we just put a few more strings in there. And we made kind of a big deal the other day about when we turned on the lights. And that was, you know, like day before yesterday. And my daughter helped me hang plastic balls on the little tree that's right outside of our door. And so, you know, the thing that you can do as a parent is that you can, take good care of yourself at the moments when you're not on, and that's really hard. But in the moments that, you know, when your children are watching, you can figure out things to find some joy in and find it and make it simpler. One thing that I did is I handed my for decorations, I handed my 4-year-old a window marker, like a marker that was just made for glass, and I told her to draw snowflakes on our front window, and she did, and they're marvelously abstract. But that was something that really brought her joy and let her help with the decoration, and that made it special for her. You know, I would say that this is a good year to relax your standards as a parent. You know, again, you know, I had my moment today of letting go of my Martha Stewart ideas of what cookie decorating would look like and embraced what actually happened. And so this is a good time to get rid of traditions that no longer serve you. I know a lot of families who do really difficult schleps to see family. This is the year not to do that. This is the year to keep it within your household. For those of you who are not raising children right now, you know, thank you for saying, you know, how can we see you? How can we help? You know, one thing that I just like to say is, send a card, you know, kids love it. Getting mail. I had a whole bunch of wonderful friends who sent my daughter birthday cards because her birthday party was right at the beginning of COVID and it got canceled, and she was pretty upset about that. And the birthday cards were such a gift, that just all of these people were thinking about her. Or my sister-in-law, has really gotten into sending postcards, and she's drawn and sent my daughter these wonderfully thoughtful letters and cards. And that's just wonderful because it makes the child feel seen and heard and special. And so even if it's just, you know, getting a generic holiday card, although I will say there's some really wonderful pagan artisans out there who are making pagan holiday cards and sending it to, you know, the pagan children, you know, that's a wonderful thing to do to give the kid a sense of community, even if we can't all gather together like we would. It doesn't always have to be a Zoom call to create connection in times of COVID.
Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful idea, and it costs you almost near to nothing, and it will make a child hopeful. You know, it's something to look forward. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, you're a genius, because that's a great idea. And I thank you for everything that you do, Florence, for Circle in particular, but, you know, for the children in the world. because you're very kind and you're a very loving person. I know firsthand how loving you are. And I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
And I'm going to take your word on speaking of adapting rituals for children, because in Mexico on April 30th is Child Day or Children's Day. And I don't know what the pagan equivalent would be, because this, I think, is Walpurgis Night. So I don't know if that's the equivalent on the pagan community. But either way, I'm going to take your word on adapting virtual for children. If you don't mind coming back in a few months to Lunatic Mondays, I would love to have you. And I thank you for also writing all the articles that you've written, because I have been using them for teaching. I love the one piece that you wrote about you and part of me, at least I can't remember the name of the other author with whom you co-authored that thing about bread. Thank you. About the bread and the...
I've got a... We're so far behind. We owe so many articles, but we'll get back on the horse and ride them. It's just, you know, it's hard to be a parent and a worker and a author at the same time. But we'll get back on the horse. But yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, of course. And you know what? I'd rather you do what you're doing, which is taking care of the future generations of pagans, because yeah, we need the world to continue being loving and caring the earth. And somebody needs to take care of him and educate him, and that's not going to be me. So thank you for doing that.
We each have our own roles.
Yeah, you know, I still want to do the Coco viewing with the kids, you know.
Oh, we got to do that. We got to do that. Yeah, no.
Yep, it will happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me on your show. It's such a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And thank you so much. I look forward to coming back and talking more.
Yes. Let's talk about adaptive rituals for little kids. And, you know, that is something else I'm going to have to do in English and Spanish. So thank you for the inspiration as well, Florence. And thank you, everybody who is listening now, who will listen later. To all of you, may you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Yule season, holiday season. We know it's not going to be an easy one, but you know what? We have each other. Right, Florence?
Merry solstice, one and all. Yep, we're in this together.
We're in this together. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Florence, for being here. Thank you, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And we want to say goodbye tonight, a little over the hour, but I really want to play this song. This is called Soul Cake by a group named Kiva, and I just love this song. And believe it or not, it's a Winter Yule celebration song. So we're going to go with that tonight. Okay, shut up, Laura. Good night, everybody. I love you. Never forget that you are loved. Good night.
Or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please, good missus, a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for them that made us all. A soul cake, please, good missus, a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake. This is a soul cake, one for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree.
Go down into the cellar and see what you can find. If the barrels are not empty, we'll hope that you'll be kind. We'll hope that you'll be kind with your apple and your pear. and will come no more a soldin'
till winter time next year. Apple, a pear, a plum, or cherry, any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please good missus, a soul cake. One for Peter, two for Paul, and three for them that made us all. To the Lansing phrases, all you read in this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace. Our peaceful time of Yuletide brings joy to every face. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Very dirty, me shoes are very thin. I have a little pocket to put a penny in. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then we bless you.
Please, good missus, a soul cake. An apple, a pear, a plum, or a cherry. Any good thing to make us all merry. A soul cake, please, good missus, a soul cake. One for me, two for thee, three to hang on the holly tree.
Joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.